Me and Caroline had an invention a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
We were
you're
in
gonna
a class.
Hate it.
Yeah, you're going to hate
you're
it.
Gonna hate
and it's one
Nicole.
Of the worst things ever, but I just have to warn you because we refer to each other as pre sometimes. And what that is inferring to was an invention we came up with a long time ago called a pre-condom.
I'm also going to interject here. I think it was, I'll give Sean 100% credit for the invention. I just really latched onto the
idea. Okay, well, I might have invented it. I'm trying to get someone else to be culpable. It's a condom that you wear all the time. And that when you get into a sexual situation, you know, the commercial would be like, hey, why don't you get a condom? And then the guy would be like, girl, I got a pre-condom.
Call 1-800 pre-condom.
And it was just a joke, but it's become a nickname now, which is doesn't make any sense at all.
Doesn't make any sense. Okay, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think I was going to hate it because you think I hate sex or because it's a terrible
Ooh,
idea?
Caroline, good question.
I'll answer this one for you. I think it's
I didn't
because
say she was going to hate it. So.
I said you're going to hate it. I think it's because A, it's a bad idea.
It's such a bad idea.
And B, I think you might hate me and Sean a little bit. And this brings out that kind of the thing we hate most about.
I think it's the worst kind of bit that I think you probably don't like.
Oh, no, that's I like it as a bit. I hate it as an idea. I think that's maybe that's why you thought I would hate it, because I have a hard time accepting bits as not reality.
And that's like, a long conversation.
No.
No, that's awful. That's the worst one.
Recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. This is the Long Form Conversations Podcast with your hosts, Sean Diston and Nicole Dressbelt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Oh, this sucks.
I want to talk about the pre-condom. it's rubbing up against probably denim, so integrity.
It's a
There's
joke
no
idea.
Way that it works. Everyone who uses a pre-condom, it's basically like not using condom during sex.
It's a joke idea.
So it's not effective and it reduces pleasure?
It's the worst thing you could have.
Especially
it's the worst idea.
If, like you said, you're wearing jeans, you probably have some like jean lint on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Which maybe women like. I don't know.
And
I'm
not
an expert on women's pleasure.
And so what you've heard
Caroline.
Is...
Caroline.
Yeah, what you've heard is...
I don't know anything about it.
What you've heard is our guest, one of the funniest people around, one of my favorite human beings. I like to call her a goofball. America's favorite goofball. Ladies and gentlemen, you've already heard her, Caroline Cotter.
Wow. There's no way I'm America's favorite. I'm telling you that right now.
Well... When I say America's favorite, I say people in America that are at the UCB.
Okay. That's so I was going to say, I'm not even one of my parents' favorite children, I don't think.
Not even one of your parents'
favorite
children?
I used to think I was for a long time, and then I just dawned on me like 2 weeks ago that I don't think I am.
Hold on. Do you mean you're not the favorite child of either one of your parents? Or do you mean that like if both your parents had a list, you wouldn't be on those lists?
Oh, I'd be on the list.
Oh, yeah, she'd be on, but I think if your parents are like, who do your parents consider funny? They probably think you're the least funny?
Well, not even funny.
No,
well, yeah,
favorite.
I think they think I'm the least funny, but I also think I'm loved the least.
Oh, Caroline, that's
I mean it in
true.
A nice way. There's a baseline, pretty high level of love in my family.
Your siblings are just very lovable.
Yeah, and I'm a 3-child family, so it's a girl and a boy, and I'm kind of just extra.
Oh, are you the youngest?
I'm the middle child.
You're the middle. You're not.
Yes, I am.
Why would you say no?
You don't feel like it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I did. It is a compliment.
What is the trait of a middle child that she doesn't
like
have?
Psychopath.
Yeah, psycho, like needy, crazy. I love my little sister.
Well, you have also said before that I remind you of your little sister.
You remind me of my youngest sister.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah, and I was thinking it again while we were talking before.
Thank you.
You do. Yeah.
So let's start these interviews in the same place that we always do. We already have a peek into the beginnings, a middle child.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I imagine a middle child is a person who's like looking for the stage or looking for a way to make themselves stand out from the youngest or the oldest. Like, is that the case? No.
I've never heard that anybody say that about middle children.
Never heard that.
And it's not the way I feel about them.
They're all just crazy?
Yeah.
I think like attention seeking is a thing. I think it's a thing.
Like, feel you're okay. Attention seeking from like your parents. who don't. Okay.
Right, right, right.
Also, this is my understanding of the podcast to discuss my issues with my parents, right?
Yeah.
This is the right place?
That's what we do.
Yep.
But we like to start all these interviews in the same way, Nicole.
Hey, Carolyn, before you took your first improv class at UCB, who were you? Where were you?
And what were you?
Oh, my God.
It's infuriating.
What a treat. That's
it
so funny.
Fucking infuriating.
Who were you? Where were you and what were you doing, Caroline?
Well, I was the same person I am now, Caroline Elizabeth Cotter. Mm-hmm. I was 19 years old.
You were a little baby.
Wait, I think I know the loose story here.
Can you do it? And I'll tell you if it's right or wrong.
I think I could do a loose story. Mm-hmm. So you're 19, you're at Fordham, mm-hmm. and you have a crush on a guy.
Oh my God. I even had like a fake story I was going to tell, but Sean has
the real story.
This is so embarrassing.
Wait,
yeah.
You had a fake story, meaning you had like a cover story?
I was going to like a fake story. Yes, I was just going to leave out the details because
I feel bad because I thought you letting me tell the story was like, oh, I know you're going to say this.
I know, but then I forget that my biggest flaw is I just like tell the truth to everybody, even if it's embarrassing.
Sorry.
I would have done it anyway. I guarantee I would have done it anyway.
You would have gotten to it.
Yeah. I fucking hate myself.
This is where I know the story starts.
Yes.
You had a crush on a guy that was in the sketch group or
the improv group.
And because of that, you auditioned mm-hmm. and then got on it.
Yes. And I probably just got on because he was like, you should audition because we were kind of making out at the time. So
Jesus.
Is this the worst?
Wait, no. This is the best.
Well, there's a little more backstory to it, and I'll tell it to you since now you basically already know all the embarrassing things you already know about me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, that's not true. I've done a lot of really shameful things.
We'll get to all of them. We'll get to all of them.
So I was a sophomore at Fordham, and my freshman year of college, the year before, I had found out about this like sketch comedy troupe they had, and I found that I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. This is great. So I immediately got onto that. I'm so talented, whatever.
So you were on the sketch group.
Yes.
So you were already interested in comedy.
Yes. And they were still in the same, like, they're all in the same, like, Fordham has this thing called Fordham Experimental Theater. Ooh. And they were all in, like, umbrella groups of this one program. So I knew the improv people. And I remember seeing their show freshman year. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the funny. And it was made me so nervous to watch. And I loved it.
Which Fordham were you at? Were you
Fordham Rose Hill, not Lincoln Center. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So I was at Fordham Rose Hill, and at the time I was watching the improv troupe, and there were people that I was like, oh my God, this is great. Someone, famous alumni of the troupe, Dan Lepretto, was on it.
Big shout out.
But he was not good in college.
Was it long form or short form?
Long form.
Long form.
And it would be the guy who was in charge
of
the group.
I'm just thinking about how, like, I think people listen to the podcast and they hope for a shout out. I think
Dan
it might
would,
be Dan's
Dan knows
first
Dan,
mention.
Dan would agree. Dan Lepretto would agree that that's the case. This guy Dan used to get hazed a lot in our in the improv troupe in college. Mm-hmm. But now I think he's one of the funniest people I know.
He's the best.
Best
great
improvisers.
Object work. Great,
great
object work.
In college, we were all learning. Yeah. I was very bad in college.
Okay.
So you saw them and you thought it was good.
I was like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen, but mm-hmm. I was too nervous to do it. And then you know that push that I need to do something right. is get a man to tell me to do it. And then I want to
Okay, so I have questions. And maybe these are probably questions for him. Well, first, my first question is, what do you mean you were kind of making out? But that's like probably not important.
Mm-hmm. Like making out, not dating, I guess is what I mean.
You would just meet up and sometimes would make out sometimes.
Okay, so how dumb.
But always wore a pre-condom.
Yeah, great. College.
So how, I don't know. That was not my college experience.
Right.
So how dumb is this guy that he wants? I mean, that feels like that's a way to tank an improv group by encouraging the girl you're casually hooking up with.
Well,
honestly,
hold on.
I mean, I get it. The girl is Caroline Cotter. She's very talented.
Yes, but I'm saying maybe he knew of her as a performer and thought maybe you should do it. You know what I mean?
Like, I know, but that's like very, not self-interested.
Yeah, I guess in college you're not thinking, oh, I got to protect my team with relations. Yeah. That's like an adult thing to think.
I don't know.
I agree with both of you, but I also think they were just like trying to get more women to at least try out.
Right.
Okay.
And so then he was just kind of like looking everywhere. in the bargain bin,
look,
which is where
this isn't that interesting to me.
Of course it's not. It's so interesting to me.
Well, I've heard this story, and I guess what I've always thought was like, oh, and then you got into comedy. So you were always into comedy.
Yeah.
And you joined the sketch group on mm-hmm. your own accord, mm-hmm. basically.
Right.
Was that something you where you had aspirations of, like, what did you go to school for? Was it?
Well, I went for, I don't know if this is a similar thing. Maybe it is. I've kind of heard it from other people, but they want to, like my high school, I was always into acting and stuff and performing, but my high school theater department was super prestigious mm-hmm. and like very good, like Summit High School. And there's this thing called Rising Star Awards where they take all the high schools in New Jersey and then they award like best shows and stuff. Yeah, like Anne Hathaway went. She won one at the time when she was a kid.
Where in New Jersey are you from?
I don't know. Like Summit, Northern, Central. I don't know like geographically where it is.
It's just
I know
Jersey.
The name of it. I don't know where it is.
Just place. I'm from the border. That's why I was asking.
Whatever. I don't know. Okay, Summit.
What awards are these? They're the Rising Star Awards?
At the Paper Mill Playhouse.
Great.
In Millburn, New Jersey. It's a very reputable off-Broadway or like regional theater.
Won one of those awards?
Hell no, dude. Okay. I was always like in the chorus and really wanted to do it.
But it was just so hard because it was so
prestigious. It was super competitive and the people that did it were amazing. And I thought I wanted to be a dramatic actor. Somebody was like, oh, like you should do comedy. And I didn't speak to them for like 2 months.
Right. Because you thought that was an insult.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so something happened where I lost my sights on being a musical star, which if you heard me sing, would be like, Carolyn, you can't do this.
I don't know.
And then, so I always wanted to focus on acting and stuff, but I was too, like, I guess shy or nervous to actually go to college for that.
Right.
And my parents, because as we know, didn't love me enough, they wouldn't, you know, support me to go to a non-traditional college. So
we don't believe that, by the way, the Cotter parents.
God bless. So then I went to Fordham University and then found like sketch show in the beginning. And I was like, oh, this is like a thing I want to do.
And you went for like art, right? Or what did you go to college?
Yeah, like film studies.
Film studies. There
so then you joined the college improv troupe or you just auditioned?
Yeah, I auditioned. I got on and it was great. And then the guy that ran it, he was taking classes at UCB. So they were all just like super diluted, like UCB things. Yeah.
So was it long form or short form?
Long form.
Long form. And did you and that guy keep hooking up while you were on the same improv team?
I mean, not really.
It's relevant, Sean. It's relevant.
Also, he still does comedy, not in New York, but I mean, he could listen to this and I just really was a monster in college. But anyway, so in 2009, I think in, I don't know, March, I took a 101 class at UCB.
So how long had you been in the improv group?
Like a couple months. And then I just took classes because it was so close.
Right.
But at the same time, I like loved college. And I just like loved doing that theater group that I did in college. And also we would like put on plays and my sketch shows and improv group. So I took like a year off between every class. And then I think I also I studied abroad in France during college and had to like only speak French.
So wait, what year was this that you took your first class?
2009.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you graduated college?
2011.
Oh my God.
I'm dating myself.
You're a garbage like, in the face.
Wait, you were in college I was in New York the entire, oh my God, I'm so old.
Welcome to New York.
All right, let's keep going and disregard that fact.
Yep.
So you graduated 2011, and how many classes had you taken at that point?
Here's another nice Dan Lopretto memory. I remember I had just got an acceptance email into advanced study, and Dan was there, and he gave me a hug, and he was very happy for me.
Dan Lopretto, second shout out, mm-hmm. same episode.
So I was in advanced, I just got accepted into advanced study, and then I was like, oh, I don't really have a life now that I'm graduated from college, so then I got more serious about taking more
UCB
classes.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. So as you're taking these classes, you're not like one of those students that's like, oh, I saw a UCB show. I'm in love with it. I have to be at a show every week. Like, you probably struggled to see your two shows.
Yes, I did.
you monster.
And I missed two classes in all of my core classes.
Because you were basically commuting from upstate.
I'm like a terrible, terrible student.
There,
especially
it's the Bronx.
Yeah,
it's
all right. It's not
upstate.
It's not upstate.
And
it's
subway.
And I remember like being really satisfied with myself for like a 101 or 201 class being like, I saw, they're like, Carolyn, you didn't see your second show. And I was like, yeah, I saw a 101 class show. I'm like, Caroline, get out of here.
Why were you sad? Why were you proud of yourself?
Because I thought I like tricked the system. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Because I was like, oh, they are trying to get me to only see these like really good like nighttime shows, but I'm going to show them and see a daytime bad improv student show.
Who did you think you were showing?
Honestly, myself. It was Guys, I am always an idiot, okay?
No, no, you were just... It's funny because...
she's an idiot.
I was an idiot.
No. Hold on. If we had all started taking classes at UCB when we were 19, probably would have done a lot of the same shit.
I don't think so. I've talked to a lot of people that have started, like, youngish, and, like, they are all
I mean, I can
people.
Vouch that I would probably be have been much worse. I'm okay. Just like, yeah. I was a terrible high school... I mean, college kid.
Yeah. That I'll agree with.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Caroline, look, here's the thing. All right, so let's regroup here.
Mm-hmm.
You went through all the classes. You took a year off every time.
Mm-hmm.
When you were taking these classes, did you like them, or were you just kind of doing them to do them?
I did like them. Yeah. I loved them a lot, and I really...
Who were some of your teachers? What was...
I had Anthony Antamanik was my one-on-one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in... And that class was insane because Andrea Rosen, do you remember her?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was in it, and Chelsea Peretti was in it for like a class or two. And they were all friends with Anthony. And I was like, is this what it's supposed to be like? I was like,
so
I don't
weird.
Know. Like, I don't, this is like so crazy. And like, everyone was really funny and good in it.
Yeah.
But they were great. They're all really fun. 201 was with Ben Rogers. He was great. Then Gavin Spieler and Kevin Hines were 301 and 401. I don't know.
And then did you take 401 multiple times?
No. I just took it once, but I think one of the only reasons I passed is because that class was terrible.
Right.
It was a garbage class. I'm sorry if anyone was in that. The only person I know that was in it was Joel Weidel, and he's like great.
Yeah.
And was so good. I think the fact that I listened and like could respond to like questions and like make small adjustments in scenes was a big reason why I didn't have to take it twice.
You're taking these classes and you're also doing your college improv
mm-hmm,
group
mm-hmm.
the whole time.
Which I think...
For 3 years, I guess, since you were a sophomore.
Yeah. And I think that made me worse at UCB Improv.
Really?
Because we were self-coached, which
right.
is a terrible idea.
But as most colleges.
As most colleges, and it's such a bad idea. And I would like learn these things in UCB, and then I would try to do them in my college improv class, but like kind of mess up like how you act. You know what I mean?
Right,
it was just really...
Yeah.
Bad.
Like playing telephone with UCB exercises.
Yeah, and then playing with people who like didn't have any UCB training, or any improv training, and it was just kind of I think that like stunted my growth for those 4 years, and I just like wasn't very good or like memorable or anything.
When did it lock in for you? Like you graduate, you get into advanced study, you lean into the UCB in whatever way.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just took more advanced study classes, and then nobody asked me to be in a practice group or anything until my third advanced class, that was pretty good.
That's not necessarily super surprising, because I feel like nowadays, or in 2011, a lot of groups had formed during 201 and 301
so
and 401.
Yeah, so
early. If you're like removed from that, yeah, it could be
mm-hmm.
hard.
I think my Chelsea Clark elective class I took, or whatever advanced tarot class, was like great and really fun. And I think the first one where I didn't totally suck the entire time.
Was I in that with you?
I don't remember. Mm. I don't think so. We were in the current together. I don't think that was it. But that was actually the class that my first and only really indie team formed out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was like my only really practice group.
What team is that?
Daddy Long Legs.
Oh, sure.
It's a hot team.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name some people?
Well, I mean, I accidentally leave
David
someone.
Rosenberg.
Yes, David Rosenberg.
Stephanie Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dwyer.
Mm-hmm. Nathan Clancy. He moved to Chicago, I think.
I coached them a couple times, so mm-hmm. I remember some of those.
Yeah. Didi Tabak.
Didi's great.
From Florida.
Laura Zeist.
Mm-hmm.
Ian O'Keefe was a late addition.
Oof, Ian's great.
Yeah, he's great.
So great.
I think that's everyone.
It's a fun team.
So, do you remember the time when you're like, oh, now I'm obsessed with UCB? Was it pretty immediate after graduating?
Not really, because I think it was my first advanced performance class, which was the second macro scene after yours.
Right.
And so I had taken one advanced class and it was fun, and then I took that one, which again, I think I only got into. I was like the 50th person on the wait list. And, like, I just had my 401 with Kevin Hines.
Right.
And that was, like, just such a fun class. I was really bad in it, but it was really fun. It was like, oh, all these people are really fun.
Right.
When did you start working here?
That's a good question. Unrelated. I remember my first day of Improv 101, you were working at the front desk. And I had, like, I was like, hey, like, I have a handout or like I printed out my confirmation email. You're like, you don't need it.
Who you later on took over that job and probably said that thousands of times to people.
No, I'm always very nice.
Oh, that's sure, a lie. Sure. There's no way that's true.
Sure.
There's no way that's true. The only thing protecting you and I from being the worst person to ever be at the front desk is Nicole Byer.
Well, yeah, when I started working there, I think it was in like 2011. So I started interning at UCB East. Or no, I interned there during my senior year of college. Mm-hmm. And I was also a very bad intern. Like, I just wouldn't show up sometimes. I'd email Achilles and be like, hey, I'm
you're
not
the
coming
actual
today.
Worst.
I was a mom. I don't know how I.
How did you get I, so guys, many I don't, opportunities?
I don't know. She's so
I got
fucking
no, I
charming.
Got better later in
Hold
later
on. We
in
have to
life.
Stop for a second. We have to stop. Things we've already established.
Oh, my God.
You.
This is infuriating. For
were absent for many of your core classes.
Yes, but never more than not being able to pass the class.
Right. Got into advanced study after 1-4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Still is not a person who's obsessed with improv until your first ASP, mm-hmm. your first performance class. And you started working here even before then.
Yeah. Because I.
How did you. What is happening?
I don't know. I guess I just really liked it in theory, but in practice. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, yeah. Oh, I love UCB.
You were
but then
already
would never
used to the structure of your college group.
Yeah.
Did that have anything to do with
I
it?
I think so. Because we practiced twice a week.
Right, right.
A
right.
week. for like 6 hours total.
Yeah.
And then had a show like every other week. So I think it was just like keeping that
right.
structure in like post-college life, which is hard. Mm. So I interned there at the office during college.
Right.
And then.
Because you get college credit.
Yes, but I never actually filed for college credit. So I just like. whatever. It doesn't matter for UCB.
This
it matters more for me
best.
For like school. And then what else happened? Oh, and then UCB East was opening, so I worked there from when it opened to 6 months after it opened,
like
one shift.
Regular interning.
Yes. But then, like, halfway through that, there was a job opening for the front desk at the training center, so I applied to that, and I got it, I think, because I had just worked there.
Okay, that, it makes no sense,
doesn't make
though.
Sense, because it seems like I was a bad employee. But so I was interning and working at the same time, which was kind of
you were probably
stinky.
A decent employee in the office where they wanted you to work.
Yeah, I just like wouldn't come. But yeah, I was a good employee. No, I never missed an employee shift. That was interning.
Okay.
But then it was me and Nicole Byer were working at the same time, and that was just really fun.
Yeah.
But also like probably bad because you know she was better at it than I was though.
We're both fine. It's not that
great.
Crazy of a thing. Yeah.
So then, and then this is like a sad thing to say for me, for my like mental health, but I guess I've been working there since then. So maybe 2011, mm-hmm. now it's 2015. But I worked here part time until last year.
And
then
I full
time, yeah.
And though, let's go back to the improv side of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now you're in your first ASP. You love, you like this class a mm-hmm. lot, macro scene. Mm-hmm. Is there like a doubling down of like, oh, now I have to like try to get on a Herald team? Or were you always trying to do that?
I remember getting the handout in Improv 101 and it being like Herald teams. Like, this is don't expect to be on a Herald team. And I was like, oh, I'll be on one of these teams. Which had
Nicole
literally
is shaking her
it
head.
Had no, I had no like right to say that. I don't think I saw Herald Night until like 401. And then the only one I had seen was the drunk one.
Right.
But
Nicole's face.
Nicole hates this.
Is,
she's regretting
oh, it's
asking
priceless.
Me on this.
No, this is the best. I love this. This is the one of the most. Because, like, what is it about you, Caroline, that has made you rise to the top?
I'll tell you, because I think what helped is that when I was coming up, I, like, took my time having, like, a real life outside of UCB.
Right.
And I didn't become obsessed with it until later. And I am obsessed with it. I still am. It's like my entire life. Like I work here and right. perform on a couple of house teams. But it's just like, I don't know. I guess because I like took my time like learning how to do improv.
Yeah.
And didn't like rush into it or freak out when I didn't immediately get onto
right,
a team.
Right. Like by the time you were in 401, you had like 3 years of performing experience.
Yeah. And I think there was one or two auditions that happened and I just didn't even know about it.
You didn't even know.
But I could do that. I think I remember talking to Joel or hearing him outside of like Herald Night or something when we were going to see it, or I had just seen him in passing, and he's like, yeah, like, I didn't get on, or bummed, I got a call back, and I was like, what is he talking about?
But wait, why is this bad, Nicole? Why is this bad? Well, because, I mean, I think it only sounds bad because we had the, like, obligation to go through it the hard way.
No, I don't. It's not. I don't think it's bad.
This is the best.
I don't think it's. Well, because here's what I'll say. I like Caroline so much. Like, I think you're one of my favorite people at UCB, hands down. And so I think the answer to, like, how did it work out for Caroline is just, like, she's got that thing. Like, you're really likable.
You
want
star
you around.
Power,
but yeah, honestly,
but it's
thank
just
you
like
so
you
much.
Are continue. I think the reason that I'm reacting the way I am is because it's not because you work hard and you're really talented. You should absolutely be where you are. It's just you are hitting the character game of falling ass backwards into things without effort.
No, but
so
I didn't.
Hard.
I didn't.
But in the way she had to apply to be an intern, she had to like.
But I bet
will,
that's not
I
even
will
true.
Say this. I did have to. I actually got rejected for the first time I wanted to be an intern.
All right. First.
And
first
I will say this.
System works.
I think that in like my classes and everything, there was. I should be one of those students who just like never kept going because I never, ever got any sort of encouragement from my teachers or other classmates like going through. And from people that I know that like I'm on teams with or are my friends here, they will. There's like often like, oh, yeah, this person was looking out for me. From early on, or this
right,
person like
right,
had my
right.
back, and I never had anyone do that for me until
Kevin.
No, but I don't even think he'd. I mean, he didn't that he passed me, but I think that's because it was like, oh, I have to fill some sort of quota.
Maybe
but No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe like much later, like when I was after I'd gotten like a callback or something. But it was totally like I was the only one being like, oh, I have to keep doing this thing, and everybody thought. Like at college and stuff, everyone's like, oh, the only reason you're on this team is because, like, this guy used to hook up with this guy and stuff.
Really?
I think deep down inside. That's me editorializing on my own life.
But nobody said that to you. So if there is a lesson to take from you, is it, like, that you can care and want something but not freak out about it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it sounds like you did. Like, you wanted it enough to keep showing up without encouragement. But also, like, you were pretty chill about it.
Well, I bet that a lot of the, like, freaking out got transferred to her college team.
Oh.
And by the time you like did all the freaking out on your 3 years of your college team, you kind of were like done with it. Like
yeah.
That's what I think is part of it is like doing UCB, having the benefit of doing UCB and your college team at the same time is pretty unique. And like you're probably going to care more about the college team and put more of that like freak out energy onto that.
Maybe.
Right.
I do think some people do that and they end up with a superiority complex towards their college team.
Oh, possibly. But I think maybe.
Because they want it to be UCB and they get annoyed when other people are not, don't have the same level.
Yeah, but I think maybe Caroline never fell into the UCB hole as hard as maybe some other people did.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You dipped your toe in for a few years and then found your way.
But I think that's rare.
Here's the thing, is by the time we were in a class
I didn't say
together,
special, I just said rare.
By the time we were in a class together, Caroline, that was like, what, 2010 maybe?
Did we only take the current together?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think we might have taken like a Brandon Gardner
that,
class.
Or yes, that Brandon Gardner like two-person class with Sypha and Lou and
that
Keaton. That was a great class.
And Johnny Conroy.
Yes.
One of the funniest
How could
classes
I forget?
Ever.
That was such a fun class.
It was focusing on two-person scene work.
Great.
And it was just like a maniac-filled class.
That was a
it
great
was
class.
So fun. But by the time I was seeing Caroline, I didn't know that you had college experience. I didn't know very much about you, but I just knew that you were a funny person.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, like, good at improv.
Thank you.
So, like, my understanding would just be, like, oh, Caroline probably did all the same things that all the people that I think are good did.
I mean, I did, but just in a different way.
In
like,
a different
I still
order.
Did the same things. Totally. And then when, like, I tried out for the first time and didn't get on, I was, like, so devastated. Which, like, regular people. I became obsessed with it just, like,
later
in my life.
And then how many times did you end up auditioning after? Just two?
Two.
Yeah.
Not bad.
But I, well, the first time, I'll tell you this. For the first one, I, the first time I auditioned that I knew auditions were happening were the first time Lloyd teams were
formed.
The
first time Lloyd teams. So that means that you auditioned and didn't get on at a time when like a ton of people
well,
got
Well, I auditioned and got a callback and I was one of 16 people that did not, from the callback that did
right,
not get
because
put on.
Right, because more than half of the people from the callbacks are going
to
get on.
It was 16 people that didn't get onto a team and that was like so devastating to me.
Yeah.
Because that was, there were four brand new Lloyd teams, so that's 32.
And
spots?
Filling in some slots.
And there were
some
a
people
bunch
just got to Herald
too.
Night. Yeah.
There were a bunch of cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. But then 6 months later, there are Lloyd auditions again.
Or it was just it was invited auditions.
Yeah, 6 months later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was Huxtable Got Made?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have questions about this ASP period.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now on a team that practices.
Yeah.
You are aware of auditions, finally. But you already work at the theater.
Yeah.
Did you feel like working at the theater and knowing people at the theater was good for you in a way? Like, does that give you an advantage? Nicole, you might be
able
to
answer. It absolutely does. Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I think sometimes people see, oh, I'm so glad that I get to do this in front of a microphone. I think sometimes people see people who work at the theater or intern at the theater get on teams disproportionately.
Mm-hmm.
And they think like, oh, it's nepotism.
For sure.
What it actually is that I think if you, first of all, that the intern program is an investment program. It's mm-hmm. us saying we
for
think
sure.
you're good enough
of
to give of you free classes. So those people should disproportionately be getting on. And then two, I think when you work there and you're around a lot, the people who are on the audition panel stop being like terrifying to you because you have mm-hmm. to see them as people.
Right, right.
So then
right.
when you come in, you're automatically more comfortable.
That's
I
true.
I think it makes a difference.
That's very true. This last round, a bunch of employees ended up getting on.
And they had the best auditions.
And it could have,
hands down.
And you saw them, and it probably has something to do with just being comfortable in front of people.
That's also exactly what it is. Not for nothing, but now there are just more employees too.
Right.
So it's not like just one, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, so they're going to make up more of the part of the people that get on teams.
Yeah.
But also I will say for being an employee and getting on teams, it's like 5 trillion times worse when you don't get on a team.
Right. Because you're
you
always around
here.
And you're working at the front desk.
Mm-hmm. I remember I tried out for Maude like 4 or 5 times and mm-hmm. didn't get on, and it was awful. And then that time when I tried out for Lloyd and didn't get on, and just you happen to like work there
and see and people
still,
come in and
you're
celebrate.
You're happy for people who got on, but that Lloyd round, especially, I got congratulated from like 3 or 4 people because they just assumed that like
everyone
got on. So oh, like, oh my God, congratulations.
And no.
I
was
like,
no.
Mm-hmm. No.
And that's like tearing you. And then I just like start to cry and you're like, I didn't get on.
Oh no.
I've cried a lot at the training center.
Well, that's
really
good to know.
At the desk?
Yep.
Go to the bathroom.
I can't.
Yeah, you
it
can.
It comes out too fast.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, moving on. So you got put on the second round of Lloyd teams.
Yes.
Huxtable.
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like?
It was great. I remember I was so nervous. I was babysitting this 9-month-old infant at the time, and I was supposed to get a call, and I chugged this cup of tea and immediately threw it up everywhere.
Wait. Hold on. You were waiting for a phone call?
I wasn't waiting. I was like, oh, I know this is when people are getting called.
So you chugged an entire thing of tea and then threw up.
Yes.
And then got the call.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you chug the tea?
Because I didn't know what to do with myself.
Was it hot?
At that time, it was lukewarm.
Caroline, you play your character game so hard.
It's just
amazing.
Me. This
oh
is just
my
me.
God.
It was great. Yeah. I got, I think that I must have missed the call because I put the baby down for a nap. And I remember I had a voicemail and I just like lost my marbles. I still think I have that voicemail, which means I had to transfer it onto a new phone, which is impressive.
Right.
But I don't let go of the things that happened to me in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play that voicemail.
But it was great. I'll play it for you. It's Nate Dern. It was great.
Hey.
Hey, Caroline.
Hey, Caroline. That's Nate Dern's
voice. That's my Nate Dern impression. It was awesome. I got on. I was so happy. I cried a different kind of tears.
Yeah. And the people on that team are
Carrie McCrossin, Vince Moore, John Purcell, Tracy
Gordon,
Todd Bieber,
Jesse Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh balls! I'm forgetting one person.
Another lady. Is this the guy that has the museum in his house?
Dylan Donahue.
Dylan
Donahue.
Dylan moved to L.A.
You were thinking of Matt Harkins.
Great.
Oh, I don't know who. I
Matt
forget.
Harkins was on City Mouse at that time.
I mix up all the old Lloyd teams.
That's who I'm thinking of.
All right, so it was Dylan Donahue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was a fun team. I mean,
it was great.
But it was 6 months, right?
Yes.
I didn't think so. Yeah.
But you were not on for much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this. Caroline, how long were you on Lloyd Night?
I think like
2 weeks.
2 weeks. I was going to say 2 shows. Were you on 2 weeks?
Us trying to even remember a name is futile. I mean, you were on the team for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. So you're not a bad person.
Thank you. Well, I am a bad person deep down, but not for that reason. Thank you.
Two weeks. So That must have been crazy. I do remember that at the time. I remember being like, Caroline just got on a team. That's great. Caroline's really great. Then they put her on Harold Knight, and I was like,
this is wrong.
No, absolutely not.
I saw you at one show, and I talked about it for. I talked about a move you made in a group.
You had
for
a really good
weeks.
First show, right?
Well, I don't know if it was a first show where when I did the Herald, I had not done a Herald in like almost a year, aside from the audition. So I initiated a third beat with an idea from the pattern game.
You're so dumb, I hate
and
that.
Kevin Hines afterward noted us, and he was like, "So is that like a thing that you guys are trying to do?" And I was like, "I just forgot how to do a Herald."
I don't like when we talk about specific shows because I don't think it's as interesting, but I'm going to talk about something that you did in Herald group game because it was so funny. I talked about it for weeks.
That's nice.
I don't remember what the game of the group game was, but you were just like a part of the group in it. But somebody looked at you and asked if you had a question, and you were like, no, people just think I have questions because I'm tall.
It made no sense.
But you said it so fast. And I was like, she just responded with a specific as if it were true. And I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen
in my life. Can I tell you what my reaction was when you got put on Herald Knight?
Mm-hmm.
I think the current was before Huxtable.
Yeah.
But not that much before. It might have been the summer before.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like right before auditions.
And that class was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that you were so funny in it.
That's very nice.
I mean, no, seriously. Like, I remember it being like one of those things where, like, I didn't know who Caroline was, but by the end of it, I was like, Caroline is one of the best improvisers. So when you got on Lloyd Knight, I was like, oh, that's great. And then when you got put on Harold Knight, I was like, someone must know that Caroline was great. And then someone told me that you had, like, a really good first show, a really good second show. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Because, like, it is one of those things where I don't think of you, Caroline, as a person that's going to be, like, nervous in the face of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you kind of, like, luckily don't have that gear. I think you just can be like, yeah, let's just do it.
That's not true. I'm nervous all the time.
But you don't show it. Or you don't play that way.
Yeah.
And it's something I've noticed playing with you. It's like, it's calming. And I think that was what it was with the current, too. You had this very calming presence, but also confident. And I think when you got put on Herald Knight, it was like, yeah, a no-brainer. And then you got put on Rocks. And it was like a kind of a team where I was like, yeah, this makes so much sense for Caroline because you're already batshit crazy
in the most fun way.
And that was such a crazy team.
Mm-hmm.
An insane team.
That was your first team that you were on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your, were you the only woman on that team, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was me and Josh Sharp got put on at the same time. And because I think Anna Rubinova and Allison Rich left.
Yes.
So we replaced them, and it was just like, it was an insane team. It was insane. It was so much fun, and it wasn't really like a Herald team.
What was the entire intro? So what did you guys do?
I'm glad you're asking me.
I remember seeing and being like, there are too many things going on.
No, I loved it. It was so stupid.
We never talk like this. I hated watching Rocks.
Nicole, that's the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
First of all, that might be Nicole. This is where we differ. I love watching Rocks. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was great.
It really was just a team of all insane people in a different way.
Let's name that team. I can name it.
So it was me. Always name myself because I'm myself first because I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
JD Amato, Alan Starzynski, Riley Sullener, Adam Schwartz, Steve Tice, Josh Sharp,
Matt Kleiman.
Yeah, Matt Kleiman.
That was such a
fun team.
They were
great. So I'll say, the best part of Rocks, one of the best parts was, well, two things. One of them was every opening we would do differently. So we never like came out to our opening song the same way. We always like choreographed it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite way that we did it was one time Josh Sharp made an arrangement of our song and we all sang different vocal parts of it and sang it instead of the song playing.
That's so funny.
And the second favorite part of it was Matt Kleiman introducing me to a lifelong love of Szechuan food. We would, almost every show before, we would go to Grand Szechuan by Chelsea and eat there. And then we all, like, really had to shit before the show.
But wait, we're leaving so much out. So you guys marched around on stage. You guys had a rooster call for the audience before they started.
Oh, yeah. We had
and then
rooster.
You also gave out a rock every show to whoever gave you the suggestion.
Yep.
I loved it.
And every time.
It was almost 5 minutes of nonsense.
I would say the majority of our show was just our opening, and I'm not talking about the opening to generate ideas.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
literally the opening. Yeah, and we would give out a different rock every time, too. Never the same rock.
Loved it.
I tried to give out rock candy once because I thought that was like a fun kind of
change up,
idea,
like, no,
and JD got like
rock.
Very mad at me. He's like, that's not a rock.
I loved it. I loved that.
That was great. And we did, I would say that's the team I've done the most insane, like, experimental shows with.
Right. You guys did, like, an organic opening in the, like, most organic sense.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought you guys had some awesome shows. Very supportive team. And it's interesting because you're, like, a new Herald person. You don't think, well.
I think there's, I don't know if supportive is the word. I would love Rocks. I love everyone on it. And we all got along really well. But I think, I don't know. Not to say they weren't supportive, because they were.
It might have been aggressive.
I think it was aggressive, right. Yeah. It was really aggressive. And that was like a team where I was like, oh, okay, so to be on Herald Night, I have to be able to yell really loudly, which is not untrue.
It's very true.
I feel validated in my feelings.
I would say like individually, they're all very supportive, especially of like me. They're all very nice and very supportive of me and being like, you're great, like blah, blah, blah.
You didn't necessarily have... a lot of people on their first Herald team or first team have that sort of like tension filled, like we've got a bunch of pressure and we have to do great. And then sometimes it implodes or sometimes it ends up working out. I don't know if you guys had that.
Yeah, I think we were. I don't know if we imploded or anything. I think we were just too weird and then unwilling to not do what we were doing.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
And then we got cut. Yeah. But I think we like were all very committed to being really like the weirdest team on Herald Night. And I think we were, and just doing weird stuff.
I loved it.
It was great.
There is, not that my opinion is changing at all.
We know where you stand.
But I do think there is something admirable and also hard to find now from a team that's just like, we're just going to be the weirdest. Like, we're not going to worry about longevity, and we're not going to worry about approval. We're just going to be unapologetic.
And even if it's not be the weirdest, maybe it's we want to be the this or that, but it's like it's having a team identity and like sticking to it no matter what your sort of critics are saying. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I liked about Rocks. I also liked how weird their shows were, but that's just personal taste.
Yeah. And then we moved from organic to sound and opening. And I remember one sound and movement opening. I remember we did Matt Kleiman's accident, because he wears like really kind of like saggy pants. Mm-hmm. And one time he like tripped and his butt came out. So then we all took our butts out on stage. Mm-hmm. Like full butts. It was
full
great.
Butts. I do think that's like an interesting first team experience, because you're right, Sean, that you're avoiding like the panic and the nervousness.
Mm-hmm. Like she had it for 2 weeks on Lloyd Night and then moved away immediately.
But you are getting like the part of Herald Night that's like kind of having to like elbow your way for attention.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like literally do
like,
that.
You still have the settling in process of having to figure out how to play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're on Rocks.
But without also balancing the panic. I think that's really interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're then on Rocks for 6 months.
I think so.
And then.
Maybe a little less.
The next team is.
Big Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that's like.
I did
one,
coach you. I couldn't remember if I coached you or not.
That was one of those teams that like. Was another short run team.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, mama.
Yeah, pretty short. And like fine. I think. At the time, we all like liked it, but then now that we're all on different teams, we're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
It felt like a transitional. When the teams got made after that, I was like, oh, these teams make sense.
Yes.
But weirdly, that round felt like a lot of transition.
Yeah.
Of like, these players should still be on Herald Night, but we don't know where to put them.
And I think that's what that team was.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It was a fun team. It had fun practices. Mm-hmm. But that is also, I think right when I started working with you, we were going to do organic stuff, and then you were told you can't.
Yeah. I think our team specifically, right?
Oh, yes. You got an email that was like, I thought you had had a great show, and then you got an email that was like, you have to do pattern game opening into a traditional Herald.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Which was interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was cool for me because I had never coached that before, and I think it was interesting for you guys. But I remember the teams that, because it was basically like Big Margaret and Sherlock and Cookies were basically just mashed together. And I remember looking at the two teams that came out of it, Greg and Iggins, and I was like, oh, those two teams make sense, and they demonstrate a genuine understanding of the 16 players you were dealing with.
Yeah.
Like, the people who moved to Iggins 100% made sense, the people who moved to Greg 100% made sense. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. So, next team, Iggins. Final Herald team, Iggins.
Yeah, my final team before I die.
You'll die on that team.
Probably. I guarantee I will.
Been around for what? Almost
Almost two years. And that could be wrong because I just made that up to make it seem like I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
No, well, it might feel like because it's two rounds.
I think it might almost be 2 years.
Yeah.
Because we've done a couple things where we're like, oh, we did this last year. So, I don't know. Honestly, yeah, also, if anyone wants to tell me how years work, I'm here.
Because
so.
You did two longest heralds.
Yes. I think it has almost been 2 years.
Yeah. That team gets formed and immediately starts hosting the jam?
Yes. No. Or I think it was like a transitional before because we found out. So we were a team for 6 months, I think. And then some other auditions happened or got something. It. Some teams got broken up. And then we found out we weren't getting broken up. And then it's like, do you also want to host
the jam?
The jam.
So it was like a
so we were a team for a while before.
Got it. What was that like starting on that team?
It was great. Yeah. Well, I missed the first team meeting we had, but everybody was like, everything on our team is just from the first person suggesting it.
Right.
So someone's like, oh, how about this for a team name? Everyone was like, okay, how about we do this dumb thing for an opening? Okay. Like there was no debate about anything. Everyone
and it was
just
a lot of people's
agreed.
Second, maybe third team.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Except for Alex French, maybe. Did he just come from?
No, Alex was on Big Margaret with you.
Jesus Christ. Current teammate.
Oh,
didn't
boy.
Remember he was
yeah, I don't think
teammate.
Alex French has actually done anything at the UCB theater.
No,
that was kind of his first.
There's so much Big Margaret against Overlap. I bet those two.
I think
together.
That's what I always think just of Big Margaret.
Because
kind of
Overlap was
Denny French.
The only
Catherine,
people.
Catherine, you.
No, Catherine was on
yep.
Big Margaret?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
The only people that weren't were Diana, Hunter, and Matt Kleiman all went to Greg.
Got it.
So everybody else
that's
was on.
Right.
And then Vince, Molly, and Pat O'Brien came onto the team.
Right,
yes.
right. So that team been around for a while. I have a question from Kazarm on Twitter here. And here's the question.
Twitter.
It's from Twitter. It's fun.
Ever heard
Cameron
of it?
Cameron Azarm asks, have lineup changes affected how you approach Higgins shows or how Higgins approaches heralds?
Oh, that's a good question. Because
you've had three lineup changes. And
yeah, we have a pig in the house.
A little pig. I'm a ex pig in the
yeah,
house.
True.
Pig for life.
What the fuck?
It's
are
complicated.
You
but you've had three lineup changes and it's just been one person. Like it's been the same person.
Is it the same spot?
Yes.
It's the same spot.
Oh, yeah. The Benjamin Apple spot. Because Bucky had
right.
spots.
Ben Apple
yeah,
had
always
the
one
same
spot.
Thing.
Same one.
Yep.
So it's the similar thing. So they had Amos, then me,
and then Casey.
Now Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how have shows changed or how has the approach changed?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. It's always kind of, I don't know. I think the thing about Higgins is that it's just like a group of people who are all just like agreeing to each
yeah,
other and
yeah.
just like kind of yes anding everything.
I will say, as someone coming into the team, and then also like watching before and after, I think with the players almost adjust their approach on Higgins. Like Higgins has their thing so strong that it's like if you're not going to adjust to what they're doing, you're going to stand out and feel weird.
Mm.
Because
I see what you're saying.
Like one of my first thoughts on the team was like maybe it was the first show. I just remember being like, oh, I feel like fully, truly supported.
Yeah.
In the like way that like isn't just aggressive support. And I, you know, adjusted my game to be like, well, I also have to ride this wave or I'm going to stand out as the person who isn't doing that.
Is that what it's always like getting added to a team though? Because that's what it sounds like your experience on Rocks was.
I
was
think
like
that's
they
always
had a vibe and you had to add yourself to it. And I know when I got added to Very Good Kiss, I was like, this is a thing that's in motion and I have to play like they're
maybe,
playing.
Maybe.
I don't think so. I mean, I can only speak to my own experience.
Right.
It was like that, but
maybe if the team has a strong enough
yeah,
identity,
yeah.
I think Higgins has a really strong identity.
Yeah, and like Rocks had a really strong identity.
Yeah.
But I think if you're getting added to a team that maybe there's some like internal conflict or like they don't really know like what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that they don't know what they're doing.
Sometimes
but if they're still
that
figuring
can be the
out
right
their
shot
thing,
in the arm.
Yeah.
Or, you
right.
Know what
then
I mean?
There is. You're not just playing along.
Yeah.
You have to help
you're
figure
actively
out what it is.
Figuring it
but
out.
But I think we all, like what you said, we're all really good at supporting each other like aggressively.
And I think that came down to, like you said, Nicole, putting that team together, knowing that this will be a team that does
yeah.
that.
And then I guess the people who just get added kind of like figure it out immediately because it's just like, oh, it's just really supportive.
Right.
But then I think we're also good about like letting each individual person like do their thing.
Totally.
And so each person like added their own thing. Like Amos is so good at game, like
right.
the best game player I've seen, and he would just like do that thing. Sean is just like funny.
Just funny.
That just funny, can't just do funny. Anything else. And Casey's like really fun and crazy
even,
and wacky.
Even funny.
But also Casey's so gamey.
He is gamey, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't play game.
You play game too. Everyone
right,
plays
let's
game.
Let's move on.
So who were some of your Iggins' longest coaches?
We had Aaron Jackson first for a really long time. And then whenever we switch coaches, it's just because it's been like, oh, look, it's been 6 months. Let's just try something new. So then we had Aaron, because I think we had both of you like in between for a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe like a couple times.
I think I did one with you guys.
And then BSJ for a while. And then now we have Jackie Jennings.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So you've over that time, you've had some pretty steady coaches.
Yeah.
Which I think is another advantage, because I think it's hard to have a steady coach on Herald.
Oh, it's a huge advantage.
And I think one other thing is that I think Iggins is the team that's attractive to coach.
Yes. Because we're all very attractive.
Because you're all very attractive. And also just like, I think they're a team that's going to like do the things you aren't going to be annoyed. They're not going to do the things that will annoy you. Like not support each other or like not listen or any of those things.
Also a generally enthusiastic group, not including myself, but almost every rehearsal we have when our coach is like, all right, now let's get up and do a Herald. Everybody on my team is like, yes. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so enthusiastic. I think so. And I'm saying I'm not one of those people because I'm a monster.
Right.
You are a monster.
I also think Aaron and BSJ, and I haven't, I don't think I've been coached by Jackie, but I think Aaron and BSJ are also the kind of coaches who are like not necessarily looking for things to note. Like,
yeah,
they just want to kind like, they're an incredible, because BSJ coached Bucky for a long time, such a great presence in the room, but also very hands off.
Yeah.
Like, let you find your thing, doesn't need to be the ninth member of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us could take lessons from that.
I think where BSJ was hands on, in my opinion, was like just listening to what we wanted and trying to figure out a way to give it to
like
us.
Like adjusting what we could do.
Because there were times where we were like, let's do this opening or whatever. And BSJ would just be like, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we would just run a bunch of sort of scenarios. But like, he wasn't a person that was going to be like, we got to, you know, be super meticulous about notes.
Right.
But
he
let us hang loose a little bit.
Yeah.
And it like pushed us together in a way. I mean, at least my experience.
Yeah,
on the team.
I agree with that.
So do you have any standout memories from your current Herald team?
My current Herald team? I don't know. It is one of those things that I've never felt this before, but so it's just a funny noise outside. Like every practice, I just like laugh so much.
Yeah.
It's like a dumb thing to say, but I really do just like everyone just makes me laugh so hard. And just like thinking about it, I've never laughed harder than I have on the team in practice and in shows. I just like lose my marbles.
I think one of the hardest I ever laughed was in a premise keep. No, it was the premise lawyer where we just kept repeating. Like no matter what was said, we kept being like Facebook, Twitter.
There's like a game, overall just game in us doing the exercise of premise lawyer.
Social media.
Yeah, I feel like that. Oh man, this is so stupid, but one of the hardest times I've ever laughed was we were doing categories, the warm-up categories, and everyone was doing, like, normal categories. And then it was Pat O'Brien's turn to name a category, and he said .com websites. And that just, like, I was crying. Now it's, like, recently, I don't know if I'm becoming, like, a less emotionally stable person or they're becoming funnier, but in the last month, I think in every practice, I just have cried laughing
just
so hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
There's a lot of, I would say, one of the staples of Iggins is that we have a lot of, like, long-running games that I would say most people don't find funny, and then I find funny. So, for example, calling out like Bill de Blasio is a big thing.
If you're a big Highead, you know that Bill de Blasio comes up in many sets and in so many different ways.
Yes.
And I remember them all being funny to us, but I don't know if the audience gave a shit.
I think at our first two or three shows, we mentioned it. So this was like at this point, maybe over a year ago. People thought it was very funny because maybe it probably made sense in the scene, which is why we brought up that specific. But now we just really force it in there and people hate it. And so we did a jam at the last week at the jam. I think it was me, Vince, and Alex. And Alex was the straight person in the scene and just like took a second to agree with all the crazy people in the scene.
Wait,
just to say just to yell at Bill de Blasio.
Oh my God, I love it.
This was a scene like during the pre-jam when you're like explaining improv?
No, during the jam.
The three of you doing a scene together during the jam?
Because, first of all, thank you. Honestly, Nicole, like, great question. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. It was just the three of us hosting the jam.
Okay.
And then it was a group scene, so everybody was in it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
But you're right. It's not good to have just the three people because you're supposed to include
the people
all
that
the,
are
all
jamming.
The jam freaks.
Wait, I can I talk about a Caroline moment that I remember?
Honestly, please do.
I think one of my favorite scenes I've ever seen from a backline, and I had students at the time be like, it was the hottest topic.
Hot topic.
I don't remember how the game was this, but I think the game was Caroline wanted to surgically remove her feet. And then put them on her head. And
oh boy.
She did it with like a French accent.
Yep.
I think it was one of the funniest first beats ever. But that wasn't the moment. It was the second beat.
I can't remember if I was there for this.
It was the second beat where Caroline just basically tumbled. Just tumbled forward and like tried to like walk, like put her feet where her head were. And we did a whole scene like that. To like a full-on standing ovation. And I remember afterward just being like, I think you might have had a catchphrase in that scene.
I mean, if it's a good scene, it has a catchphrase.
It has a catchphrase. That's another Higgins thing. Is we employ who, what, where catchphrase. And it's worked many times. But I think that was one of the scenes. And it's one of those things, too, that I think sets you apart from other improvisers, Caroline, is that.
I don't know what game is.
No, you do know what game is. But I think you just go for it so hard. And, like, in a scene where, like, I might have even been like, well, this is the idea. What do I do here? Okay. Right? And probably would have undersold it. I think because you just sold it, it became this, like, legendary scene in my mind.
Nice.
And, like, you're a person that just goes for it. And maybe part of that is just because, like, that filter of, like, oh, maybe I should hold myself back isn't there.
Mm. I think I don't have a filter and sometimes to my detriment.
I mean, I think it's benefited you in many ways, honestly.
Yeah.
It sounds like a plot second beat more than a game second beat.
She played the game. Don't worry about it. We made it into
Nicole,
like a runway show because in the first, I don't want to get into it.
Honestly, we don't want to bore you with the specifics, but there
was
a very strong game.
It was fully justified and we played the philosophy in the second beat. So, that was like one of my favorite.
That's very
even
nice.
Harold's. That was such a fun one. But I love playing on that team and I think you guys even now just play with so much joy. And I bet part of it is getting to host the jam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The jam has helped a lot.
How long have you guys hosted it? It's been a long time, right?
I think either almost a year or a little over a year.
Is that as long as Bucky or all these other teams? I think Grandma's Ashes might have been like a year plus.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Probably. I don't remember how long Bucky did it for.
You guys are definitely a long running host of this jam.
Yeah.
Our second question from Cameron Nazarm is how has the jam like change the way you play?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
Well, I'll tell you this little backstory. We had, or not backstory, I guess it's just me answering a question.
I thought you were calling Cameron little backstory. I'll tell you this little backstory.
That is also my nickname for it. We're close friends.
That's great.
We kind of like went through this. I don't think we've ever, or we don't think as a team, like we've ever had any like really truly awful shows, but some have definitely felt like more fun or easier than others. And I think maybe after one show that was like not as fun, we're like, you know, when we do the jam, it's always so fun and so great. So like, how do we bring that to Harold Night?
Right.
And I think it's just kind of making what the other person is saying in the scene like true in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, really, really aggressively supporting that. So because especially with the jam, you'll have people that come up and they're like, they'll say just like crazy shit. But then if you make that true, then that person has to deal with it. You know what I mean? So if they're like, man, like, can't believe you're smoking all these fucking blunts on the moon. And then you like make that a real thing and they have to like live in that scene. But it's also like aggressively supporting that. And then just really recommitting to the basics of like who, what, where, catchphrase.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
I think it comes down to, again, the thing we've been saying a lot where it's like support the player, not the scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You take focus off of game and focus on supporting each other the way you do at the jam. Mm-hmm. Game falls in line.
Exactly.
When Bucky started doing the jam, we had a rehearsal with, because Jordan Klepper was coaching us at that point. and we had a rehearsal with him where at first we spent an hour just running the introduction because we were so bad at it.
That's what Jeremy Benn did. We had him coach us before.
And it was, it made such a difference. Like just introducing ourselves and going over the roles because we were doing it. It was just awkward. It was uncomfortable. It took like 45 minutes. Right, it was just bad. Right. So we practiced that. And then we practiced like how you improvise with jammers. So we just all played like the worst imaginable stereotypes of jammers.
Mm-hmm. And that's
fun. The thing that we learned is that like, don't straight man. Don't try to, because you think like you're crazy. Right. And so I'm going to support you by straight manning you.
Right.
But like a genuine like loose cannon is never going to do the same thing twice, right. No matter how
so
you
So you have
it.
To kind of go with them.
You have to go, you have to like crazy. Just grab onto their coattails and say yes to everything.
Exactly. And I think that's like them making that them true. Like
yes,
making what
that's
they
exactly
say
what
true.
It is.
Totally.
We did the same thing and that was really, really helpful.
Yeah, it was so fun. And then you leave and you're also like, well, why don't we improvise with each other like
exactly.
that all the time?
And then you just do it. And then it also adds a fun thing of being like, okay, well, then you can like never really fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you like you come out and somebody like doesn't know what you're like initiating with or whatever.
Right.
It's like it doesn't matter because if you're just like aggressively supporting it and just like really reacting to what they're saying and listening to them and supporting them, then it is fine.
And with game in the back of your brain, that always sort
game
of
brain.
Falls in line. Mm-hmm. I think when you support each other, the game falls in line.
Yeah.
If you're thinking too hard about playing game, you for sure can sometimes make it harder or, you know, and that is interesting. I would say, and we've all hosted the jam, like some of the best improv I've ever done is at the jam.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'll walk home feeling like, oh my, I'm invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'll like make some move and make someone else look like a genius.
Yeah.
It's an and what another thing about the jam too is like it lets you feel what it's like to truly make someone else feel like they're like make someone look good.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you truly make someone look good that normally wouldn't look good, you can like really feel what that feels like and be like, oh, this is how I should always play.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm just saying another version of like what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
But like you notice it when you host the jam. It's very interesting. What? So can we make an announcement on
what?
The podcast? What's going on with the jam, Caroline?
Can we?
I don't know if we can.
Yeah, we might have to cut. This might actually have to get cut.
All right, fine. But I think this is coming out
I guess,
in what, 3 weeks?
I don't know why not, but 2 weeks. Well, I'm sure it's fine, especially if this, like, at the time has already been whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we are giving up the jam.
Giving up the jam.
And then something that we're doing beforehand, I guess this is whatever.
Oh, right.
We were, but not giving it up, but I think like in a little bit, because like November is the 3-on-3 tournament. So,
so we'll be giving it
it's
up
like
for
in
someone
December
in December
or whatever.
Okay.
But so we're going to keep hosting it, but while we do it, we're going to see if teams that used to host the jam in the past want to do like a one time, like just a one time.
Throwback
jam. Honestly, it's crazy. Nicole is nodding her head like,
she
wants to do this.
Oh, Nicole, you're agreeing
that's
to do
crazy.
All right, that's
Nicole,
great.
That's
good
so
to know.
Enthusiastic.
And she's writing down that, yes, Bucky will
she loves
be there.
It. She's blushing with happiness.
well, we'll see what happens. But
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's been a great run. I think you guys have hosted a great jam and sort of kept up the traditions of the jam
the
in a
pass.
Great way. And students, if you aren't going to the jam, head out there.
Jam
it's,
it up.
It's incredible to see students go to the jam and get on stage for the first time.
Also, yeah, that's what I've subbed some classes, and that's what I tell the students that then don't listen to me because I'm just a sub, and they say, you're not a real teacher. We'll wait for a teacher to come back.
Right.
But it's so important to get to do that because it's like you are performing probably on the same stage that you'll be doing your class show on, and it's just like a great way to get experience.
Damn right. Now, Caroline...
Jam right.
I want to ask you some somewhat technical questions.
Uh-oh.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't know what kind of answer you're going to get.
But this is why I want to ask them, because I'm wondering what your thought process is.
Me too, man.
So, all right. So you coach some now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're subbing as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When you give notes to people, a question I like to ask is like, do you ever find that you're like giving the note to people that you received a lot yourself, or it's something that you're like, this is what I'm bad at, so I'm gonna
get
people on. What is it?
I think so. I think especially in 101 and 201, well, all the core classes, which is like what I sub and coach mainly,
right,
is just like people not committing to it, and that kind of has like varying degrees of what I'm specifically talking about.
Right.
Like if you're not committing to like the reality of the scene, or just like not committing and not like acting like a doctor or whatever. And that's something that I do sometimes too, especially if you're just like kind of on autopilot at practice or something. Right. And you're just like not mm-hmm. committed to the scene and you're just like trying, like talking through it or
is
whatever.
Is that a note that you've gotten?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like consistently, but I have gotten it before.
Right. Do you find that you're having to like keep that in check, or is that just a thing that ends up in practice and like Harold Knight is Harold Knight?
I don't know. I think probably just in practice. But I don't know if there's anything I consistently do that's like bad, but I'm sure there is.
No. Anything.
But probably just like say too much random shit would be a note I would give myself.
Mm. What are other like major things you tell people a lot? Like are you at the level where you're like trying to give people like this is how you get better, or are you like trying to give people sort of guidance and reps?
I think it's all about just like doing it more. Like people right. are like, how do I get better? How do I like, I want to be on a team or I want to do this. It's like, you just keep doing it. Like, shut up, number one, because like you've been doing this for what, like 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Just like keep doing it. Do it with people you like. And then also like act like you want to be there. Like a lot of people, I'll like watch them do, like especially if it's an indie team, because right. classes are different because I understand it's like nerve wracking and they're like true beginners.
Right.
But especially with indie teams, it's like people will either just like be sitting on the back line or
Ooh.
Just like be like doing scenes like really half ass. And it's like, you are paying to do this.
Right. Like you chose, like you to spend 3 hours these people. Doing this.
But a lot, I feel like that happens a lot. And it's like, you want to do this. So like mm-hmm. care about it. And then when you care about it, it's like a lot more fun and better. But that's another pet peeve I have. It's a small pet peeve. But when people like lean against the back wall, it really annoys me.
That was a major pet peeve for me for a while. I don't say it as much anymore, but I used to be like a real Nazi about it because I think you miss every edit. If
yeah, I think it's also like
wall.
A mental thing too. Is if you're
totally,
like leaning
you're not
back,
in the right mindset.
Even if you're like I'm paying attention, I'm like in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like that body language of like leaning back, at like in a like mentally
right.
shuts your brain off a little bit.
I think sitting down is the worst. Brandon Scott Jones is also really good at dealing with that because like he will notice it as soon as it happens and just be like, can you please sit? Can you please stand?
I've never encountered anyone who sits.
No, no one's ever done that
yeah.
in a practice.
I see people do it, but they're all like very good at improv. So I'm just like, okay. But I mean like not like practicing. Like I've never seen students mm-hmm. or anybody do it.
Yeah, I will sometimes sit on the back line.
Like, that's when daddy's tired.
When I was listening to a monologue, but that's
I think that's, I think listening to a monologue is okay.
Is okay.
But like,
because you're not going to have to do anything.
Yeah, right, during I would say not even during listening.
Yeah, I kind of try not, I wouldn't want, like, I don't think that great of it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where like, I'm sitting, I'm not in the same like open listening mm-hmm. that I should be when I'm standing. There's an anecdote that I used to hear that Gether used to stand on the back line and sort of like look like he was ready to like box. Mm-hmm. He'd be like leaned forward and like almost
yeah,
like
yeah.
freaking out, and then was told that he had to stop doing that. But sometimes I'm like, it's good to have that intensity on the back
yeah,
line.
I remember,
or that like awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Barrett, who's like very tall, would
him.
Lean down with his hands on his knees and kind of bounce like he was like in a sport.
I mean, that's
the
what this is.
And
then
did like always
yeah.
look very ready.
Was there a...
I have a specific sport that I'm thinking of.
Volleyball?
No.
Basketball?
Like when you're going to steal a base in the baseball.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so
in
much.
The
I'll
baseball.
Thank you so much.
Caroline, was there a teacher that you feel like you learned a ton from in the advanced levels?
In the advanced levels?
Or I guess in any level.
I think all of them are good.
Yeah.
I learned something from all of them.
Because I try to pinpoint your like style of play, I can be like, whoa, well, it's maybe like this kind of influence from this teacher, but I don't know if there is an answer to
that.
Do
you feel like you have like a mama bird or a papa bird?
Not really.
Well, we've said that
yeah.
already. Like you don't feel like
yeah.
that, but I mean like as a teacher, was there someone that like really spoke to you as a teacher?
I think Brandon Gardner in that two-person
yeah.
scene class we did
yeah.
was really helpful for me because it was like the opposite of what I do.
I think me too.
And I think that was like just being told to like do the opposite
truthful
of
scenes.
What you have to do is like very, very helpful.
I had been cut at that point
mm-hmm.
and was told to like take those kinds of classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taking that class sort of in the same mindset of like, I'm a maniac that will do whatever, but I need to be told like sort of the opposite of that. And just like having a class that focused on that, I thought was huge. Mm-hmm. Like whether or not like Brandon is like a person that I've learned a lot from, he definitely has, but I feel like, cause it was such a specific class. I haven't like taken like a Herald class with Brandon or anything, but that class was very informative for like this new way I was going to play.
Yeah.
I wish that we had in the advanced study program, like the resources to have more targeted classes. Like this is an aggressive class for people who sometimes tend to like hug the wall.
Yeah.
Right. This is like a truthful class.
That's what the 410s are supposed to be.
But yeah, but they're like not.
They're not advanced level.
Yeah, they're not advanced. They're not advanced level, which is where I think it's kind of the most important.
Right.
And they're also sort of self-selecting.
Yeah.
But I wish like a little bit more intensively where it's like, no, Caroline needs
you
to do this.
You have to take this class.
This is a class made up of that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of the thing there is that the teachers pick what they want to teach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we're not picking things that are supplemental to each other.
Yeah, that's true. I mean? Like distinct enough.
And then like if people don't know that that's what they need, because I feel like a lot of times people can't like self-diagnose. You know what I mean? Like they're like, oh, totally. I don't know.
But I think teachers might be able to be like, hey, maybe you should take this class. Because like if Brandon was still teaching this class or it was a regular class, it was like focused on two-person scene work.
Yeah.
I have many students I would throw to that class. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, other students need focus on game. Other students need focus on, you know, confidence. You know, there's lots of things.
I mean, we've maybe talked about this before, but I taught a 401 once. It was like a pretty good class. But for the personal notes week, there was one class where I split them up and like the slightly wall huggery, quiet players had to do the pattern game opening by themselves and edit and initiate every scene. And the more aggressive players couldn't do the opening. Couldn't initiate any scenes.
We
it
did
could just
something
be the
like
second
that,
line. Yeah. And it was the best Herald that class ever did.
Yeah.
Because I think like really good improv on a team level, or maybe just really good Heralds, are the less aggressive people pushing themselves to be more aggressive and the aggressive people pushing themselves to be more restrained.
Right.
I just wish we were able to like cultivate that balance more.
That's hard though, because then you have to know like each individual student like pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, but I it's an imaginary world.
Class.
Yes, that
where
is.
She was like picking the teams and then you'd be on the team.
The
there was an element
one?
Of that.
Yeah.
Because I was in one where I think she put a lot of the like less. She put all the aggressive people on one team and then some of the non-aggressive people on the other
and
team.
You know what? That's a that is what I was talking about when I was picturing these classes. But I do think that's a different lesson.
Right.
Because I do, there is
it's
some
too
benefit
much of the
from
same
like
thing.
Yeah. Because I was in that Shannon O'Neill class and I was on the less aggressive half and we were just terrible.
I was on the less aggressive half.
That's insane.
I know, but I think only because. I'm not sure why I was, but I think it was definitely a choice that Shannon made to like separate me and Laura Wilcox and put me on a team where it was like, I could fail for sure.
Right.
But like, it would be very obvious if I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it, I think it was something that did benefit me. That class benefited a lot of people.
Yeah.
Caroline, you've worked as the registrar
for
a while.
My dream job.
What's something people should know?
That's what
I know.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, you deal with so many students and they're listening now. Like, what are things that, like,
I don't know. Guys, honestly, I'm so glad you're asking me this. This is just what I want to talk about. My registrar experience and my passion.
Well, I mean, as it relates to improv, are there things that, like,
I guess the number one question I probably get asked all the time to some varying degree is, like, why don't you offer this class? Like, when will you put this class up? And it's just like, follow the Twitter at UCB Classes NYC.
And you have almost nothing to do with that, really.
I have nothing. I have less than nothing to do with it. I couldn't have less to do with it. People just ask a lot of questions that can be answered by reading the website.
Right.
And then a lot of people, this was less of a problem now, but people used to get really mad when they didn't get to advanced study classes. Mm-hmm. But then Kevin Hines, like, basically wrote this, like, on program online to like track how many times people have applied to classes and then wait that when you get randomly selected.
Right.
Which I think has been like, that's probably alleviated like the number one problem we used to have, which is like people complaining about
getting into classes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite question you've ever been asked?
Thank you so much.
And you can define favorite however you want.
A favorite question I've ever been asked as a registrar. I don't know. This is kind of a more general thing, but talking with the moms who are trying to get their specifically sons into improv teen improv classes has always just truly been a delight. And it's like, it's just great. So yeah. I never had, again, back to when Nicole and I used to work together, I remember she would like make things up when she was talking to people, or like just be, if someone was being dumb on the phone, she'd be like, ask them why they were being so stupid.
I love it. It was so good.
I think that's like, to this day, I'm still trying to be like, how do I be more like that?
Mm. Yeah.
But I can't.
When
it's scary.
I said she was the worst before, I meant like, she was the best.
She was absolutely the best. She was the
person who was not going to take shit from me.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if people ask like stupid questions, like what time is this thing? It's like, well, check the fucking website.
Oh, she would. And she would just say it, but not mean.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make people look
like a helpful
shout
way.
Shout out to Nicole Byer. Yeah. Today announced that she got her own show on MTV.
I saw that. It's a pilot.
Yeah.
Pilot.
It's great.
Got it. Making a pilot.
Yep.
That's awesome.
She's not moving back to New York. I texted her right away.
Well, I think they're shooting that other one in New York.
Yeah.
I'm also making a pilot of my life as a registrar.
Oh, that sounds great.
And have it be
as my
number one passion.
That sounds really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Caroline.
Look out for that on TLC.
Caroline, here's
I wish,
your,
online.
Here's your final opportunity to
thank you
impart some wisdom on these students. You're in the training center all day.
Mm-hmm.
You're working here. You're a huge part of the community at this point. You're integral to it. What's one piece of advice you'd give to our listeners?
I don't know. I'm supposed to come up with advice for them?
And that is the perfect answer. I only asked that question because I thought it would be funny, because I don't think there is an answer to that.
I would say just don't. A lot of people just either do UCB or take classes here in search for some sort of form of validation,
mm-hmm.
whether that's in like a house team or something, and just realize that validation is what you make it. And if you're looking for it here, you'll die before you get it.
Yeah.
You'll die an early death.
That's a sad way to end this episode.
No. Yeah. Validation is much better found casually making out with people from your college improv course.
Honestly. That's right.
What's Caroline? You are, you're like you're a superhero.
Thank you.
Of sort of backing your way into
mistakes.
The UCB.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And I'll say that all the like luck and all the chance that have gotten you here, I am so grateful, because you're one of the best performers to watch. One of my favorite people at the UCB. I'm constantly annoying you online and via text. You're one of my favorite people at UCB.
That's very
Caroline.
Nice.
Do I have
Love
your phone
you.
Number?
We'll exchange phone numbers after the podcast.
Oh, we probably do. You asked me to be in a web series that you did.
Yeah.
And you texted me, I think, unless it was another Nicole I was texting.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be the podcast for this week. Thank you so much. And direct all your angry letters to Caroline Cotter.
Yeah, I have your number.
Caroline Cotter at...
That's not my email address.
Thank you, everyone, and feed the nerds. You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversation podcast. If you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and do that. And you can also go to iTunes and leave a rating or review. That would really help us out. In the future, if you want to ask us questions or ask questions to our guests, you can follow us on Twitter at UCB Convo and look for postings there on future guests and future activity. Guys, I'm feeding the nerds left and right. We'll see you next week.